This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as we mentioned, came to refine the characteristics and the behavior of this Muslim ummah and the wider world at large. And the previous good moral or good value we spoke about was about a rifq, kindness and gentleness towards one another, and specifically towards one's family members, especially one's children, one's wife, that we find a person shows gentleness towards them. And as we stopped on the theme of goodness and kindness towards them, we touched upon the concept of chastity, of preserving one's honor and dignity. The concept of chastity should be highlighted firstly, doesn't just concern women, as some people may think. But the Quran, when it begins to speak about preserving one's chastity, honor and dignity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly begins to address the believing men, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ مِنْ فُرُوجِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes and to guard their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. That is something which is more pure for them, and Allah knows whatever they're going to carry out or they're going to do. كَأَنَّ إِشَارَ إِلَى فِعْلِ الْإِنسَانِ. As if it's a symbol that Allah knows what the human being is going to carry out or going to do. So the first khitab, Allah addresses believing men. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, which literally means to lower their gazes. There is a literal translation, and that is hatta lughatan, the linguistic translation as well. Because another place in the Quran, Allah mentions in Surah Al-Hujurat that the believing individuals are those individuals that they lower their voices in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the same word is used of lowering, from being a high level voice or from shouting to bring it down, to lower your voice. And likewise, say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to lower one's gaze. That is something of the opposite gender, is not related to you. It's haram for you to look at or to glance upon, and a person should lower their gaze. It's the literal meaning, the literal interpretation, and should be the literal practice. Whereas we find that a modernistic approach, that we find that people say this doesn't mean that one lowers their gaze in front of the person of the opposite gender. Doesn't mean that. The Quran here, lughatan wa shar'an, linguistically and technically, points to that. But that's what a person should do. Then Allah subhanahu addresses the women, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. These are ayat inside Surah An-Nur. Then the Quran addresses the believing women that they should likewise follow suit. They should lower their gazes in front of men of the opposite, of men but not related to them, non-mahram to them, and likewise they should guard their private parts. Because that is something that we find, guarding their private parts likewise, and not to deliver, to display their beauty, except for that which naturally becomes apparent. And here the ulama begin to discuss what naturally becomes apparent of the Muslim woman. Amma, her two hands, or al-wajh, or her face, as some ulama of tafsir have concluded. Even though some of the other ulama go to the view, the only thing that become apparent, the woman's possibly hands, but her face used to be enshrouded and covered. Hatta we find those ulama who allow for a woman to unveil her face, that if she beautifies her face, she wears makeup, then it is awla for her. Even those ulama who allow for a woman to uncover her face, that she should now screen her face in the public domain. She should enshroud her face, cover her face, not come out in the community. So if a person takes that view, which fuqaha mentioned inside the works of fiqh, takes that view, read that view in great detail. Because unfortunately this has been exploited amongst Muslim women at the moment, that I'm allowed to show my face. But yet how do they deliver their face? Plaster their faces in an element of beauty and display in front of everybody around them. These ayat inside Surah An-Nur, if you continue the page, who is permissible for a woman to deliver or display her beauty in front of. The whole ayah continues all the way to the end of the page. These are the only individuals you display your beauty in front of. Anything other than that, فَلَا يَجُوزُ, is not allowed for a Muslim woman to display her beauty in front of strange men. And thus we find that these ayat inside Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Quran, the Surah of Nur, the Surah of Light, the main theme of this Surah is about chastity, is about preservation. The whole Surah begins by speaking about those individuals who blame other people for immoral acts, for actions out of marriage, etc. That we find for them to be, these individuals to be punished, to be lashed, to be flogged. At Qissatul Ifk, the story of Ifk, the blame that they placed upon Aisha radiallahu anha. The whole of this Surah refers to that, this ayat referred to that, making her free from this blame, what the people are saying about her. Till eventually Surah then begins to speak about the good men are for the good women, and good women are for good men. Bad men are for bad women. Bad women are for bad men. Why? Because we find, as they say, that birds of a feather flock together. That you find that people who rejoice, who entice themselves in zina, that's the way your partner will be inside life. That you live the life of that, that your partner will be an equal person in general, the ulama have discussed, will be equally, just equally as you. They're not guarding their chastity, or hasn't guarded their chastity. And likewise, in the continuous ayat inside there, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ التَّشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who like to spread al-fawahish, the literal meaning of fawahish is sexual misconduct, promiscuity, lewdness, wickedness, bad speech, enticement. So as in the whole surah, the whole theme of the surah is about preservation, about chastity. Till eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَنْكِعُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِبَائِكُمْ. Marry the men and the women who are single from amongst your community, and marry the servants, whether they're male or female servants. إِنْ يَكُونَ فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِيهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If you fear poverty, then Allah will enrich you. This is the key theme about a person who preserves their chastity. Allah will enrich that individual. Allah will take care of that individual. And this hadith of today we're going to discuss with the later ta'ala. And even before these ayat of Surah An-Nur that we find, if you look at Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd chapter of Quran, the first beginning 10 or so verses, الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, those who are going to inherit paradise. فِرْدَوْسُ الْأَعْلَى, who are those individuals who are going to inherit paradise? What are their traits? What are their characteristics? A Muslim used to go and read the traits and characteristics of the believing individuals inside the Quran. Because some of us, we just condense our life, rightfully we should, emphasis about as-salah, as-zakah that we find. But the Quran expands on so many different traits, so many different characteristics, and these are sifatul mu'mineen. These are characteristics of the believing individuals. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ بِمَعْنَى الظَّالِمُونَ. Likewise, another page of the Quran, similar ayat occur in the end of Juz Tabarak that we find. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, those individuals who guard their chastity, preserve their honor, their dignity, these are the people who are going to inherit paradise. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ, except for in relation to their spouses or whatever their right hand possesses. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Whoever seeks any other means, then these individuals are transgressing individuals, gone beyond the limitations. That's the Quran openly expresses about the need of the human being. فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. Marry whatever you want from amongst the women, 2, 3, or 4. Have you not able to be just able to do so? Just the one woman. So if a person has an urge or a need, then Islam channels that in the right direction. This is how you can live your life. This is what's been allowed inside the Sharia. As for any extra marital affairs or relationships or secret indulgences that we find, or people, some people, they try to have nikah, claim to have carried out a marriage without their parents knowing about it, or secretly carrying out conducting themselves. أعلنوا النكاح. Announce your marriage. Let the people know that you're married. There's no secrecy. Because you find that announcing the nikah of the person knows that people community know. This is a married individual. This is a mature individual. This is a person who's perfected half of their deen. And the other half to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what concept of secrecy, of hidden affairs. That's what this ayah is making al-ishara to. Whoever seeks any other means than the open means, the legitimate means, that those individuals are oppressing individuals. Thus we find this hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ كُلُّهُمْ حَقٌّ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَوْنُهُ. Three types of individuals that we find. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will take care, who will look and help these individuals. الْمُجَاهِدُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. أولاً, the person is striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثَانِيًا وَالنَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافَ. The person who's seeking marriage and wants to preserve their chastity, their honor, and their dignity. And a third individual, وَالْمُكَاتَبُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْأَدَاءَ. The person who's a slave, who wants to emancipate, wants to free themselves, comes to the agreement that at the end, I'll pay X amount of money to my master and I'll free myself. So a person who makes that effort, these three individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect these individuals, aid these individuals. A hadith in the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi and in the Sunnah of Imam An-Nasa'i that we find. So here we find, ulama begin to discuss, because sometimes, many times it begins to occur, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the highest level of action. Al-Mujahidu fi sabilillah. The one who strives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then secondly, Al-Nakih, Al-Ladhi yurid al-afaf. The person who wants to get married and preserve their chastity. What is the relationship between a person who performs jihad and a person who wants to guard their chastity? Externally, there seems to be no relationship because a person who strives and struggles is in a far higher caliber. But هناك, there's something which is hidden. In many these ahadith, the ulama have extracted, that time will come for an individual that it will be very difficult for a person to guard their chastity. It will become نوعٌ من الجهاد. الجهاد أنواعٌ. Jihad is various types and struggles that a person has to go through inside their life. So it will become very difficult for a person to guard their chastity. So that's here, it's coupled inside this hadith. That straight after one who strives and struggling, who needs the help of Allah, likewise a person who strives and struggles to protect himself, likewise the slave, who has to gather their money carefully, day in and day out, to eventually to relieve themselves, to free themselves, is going to be a struggle. So all these three types of individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid and protect these individuals. And thus we find all forms of temptations, of desires, of fitna that we find, mass media, YouTube, adverts, newspapers, magazines, the television, everything around us, the billboards, all this is all fitna that begins to be exploited inside society to derail people. Because you know, as a side point, these people, they're very accurate inside how they plot and they plan. They want to derail people from this Muslim ummah. Because there are two types of fitna inside this Muslim ummah that we find. Ash-shubuhat wa shahawat. This is how they destroy this Muslim ummah. They destroy them either placing shahawat, shubuhat, fi deenina, doubts regarding our aqa'id, our belief about tawheed. As Imam Abdul Wahhab, rahmatullahi rahm, kashf al-shubuhat, unveiling the doubts that these people try to throw. Shubuhat still exists today, they try to throw upon about tawheed, about belief. And if they can't catch us via this, what do they do? The other doubts are what? Ash-shahwat, desires, temptations. Life just becomes a freelance living of enjoying yourself, temptations, placing yourself inside haram, making haram environments, enjoying haram, encouraging haram, going towards haram. We can see it's all visible in front of us. There's nothing to hide. Just like we clamp down upon people who commit shirk and about people come to grace, we should clamp down on people who encourage vice inside society, because unfortunately the end result will be the same. Even though people of tawheed, even though they may commit sins, eventually there's no doubt will go to Jannah. Like the people who sin will eventually go to Jannah. But these two effects, they weaken the Muslim Ummah, derail the Muslim Ummah, take them away from their mission and focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the Prophet ﷺ, he actually prophesied about this. Thus we find amongst Ashratu Sa'ah, Ashratu Sa'ah, for amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment, أن يقل العلم ويظهر الجهل. You find that knowledge will become deficient, become minimal, become weak, less knowledge. We can see this day in century after century that we find min mawtil ulama, from the death of the ulama, that you find that knowledge becomes weak and more and more weak, and the more you move away from qurun al-mufaddala, from the third chosen selected generations, you find that knowledge begins to weaken. The impact of knowledge, the understanding of knowledge, the deliverance of knowledge begins to weaken. Al-jahl, ignorance becomes prevalent, becomes common among society. وَيَظْهَرَ الزِّنَا, zina will become apparent inside society. And likewise, find وَتَكْثُرُ النِّسَاءُ وَيُقِلُّ الرِّجَالِ, women will begin to increase and men will be minimal. Till eventually find there will be 50 men, 50 women to one woman. Imam Al-Qurtubi begins to speak about this. بِمَعْنَا مَجَازًا عَنِ الْكَثْرَةِ, مَجَازًا عَنِ الْكَثْرَةِ, it doesn't mean that there actually will be 50 women to one man. It's a form of speech inside the Arabic language. There will be excessive women. في بعض الروايات you find 40, you find 40 women to one man. So here you find ulama discuss of hadith, like Imam Qurtubi speaks about this is majazan, that there will be excessive women there. And the reason for that could be possibly al-hurub, kathratul hurub, excessive warfare and fighting and killing and slaying of men, that we find that there will be women will be there. أيحال ماذا نقصد يظهر الزنا, zina will become apparent inside the society that we find. Likewise, we find the prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ, another hadith that we find, that a group of people of my ummah will begin to drink wine and call it by another name. A group of my ummah, from my people. So speaking about non-Muslims, it's speaking about Muslims. And as we find that in other narrations, it speaks about yastahilloon. Yastahilloon bima'na yatlub, to seek something. لما تستغفر الله, you seek the forgiveness of Allah. There will be some people who seek to make something halal which is originally haram. So when people try to defend and say this hadith doesn't mean that the people come who try to make something which is halal haram, they're not trying to do that. Imam Ibn Arabi al-Maliki in something in the 12th or the 13th century speaks about this hadith. يستحلون الخمرة, they try to make khamr halal. أما إطلاقا, they move it from saying purely openly saying that this which is haram is no longer haram, is halal. Oh, he mentions that becomes excessive drinking becomes common practice in the Muslimin, amongst the Muslims. وَقَدْ نُقِلَ وَقَدْ قِيلَ نَفْسُ إِبْنِ الْعَرَبِ يَقُولُ كَأَنَّنَا رَأَيْنَا هَذَا فِي زَمَانِنَا. Imam Ibn Arabi al-Maliki, ليس الصوفي المالكي العربي المفسر, says in the 12th or the 13th century, as if I've seen this with my own eyes. He's speaking about the 12th or 13th century, that there's excessive drinking of alcohol in the Muslimin, amongst Muslims. But what about today? What about today that we find the drinking of alcohol, the opening of alcohol, that we find that some of us, we find it offensive that if a person speaks about that, لا تتكلم في هذه الأشياء, doesn't exist inside our Muslim community. Who says it doesn't exist inside our community? From a small scale to a major scale. From an average Muslim being intoxicated, addicted to alcohol, to a global governmental scale of allowing people to drink alcohol, serving it on their airlines, serving it in their environment, serving it in their hotels, serving it everywhere. There's nothing to be hidden about it. It's a fact that exists inside our society. يستحلون الخمرة, trying to make khamr halal to the people. And also al-khamr is what? Al-mukhaddarat, drugs. Because khamr means ma yughibu al-aql, ma yughabu an al-aql, what takes away your mind. Anything that intoxicates you is classified as khamr. So people try to legalize drugs, say that drugs isn't alcohol. Many of the shabab say drugs isn't khamr, isn't liquor, isn't wine. They don't understand the context of the sharia. Drugs, intoxication, anything that takes away your mind, even for a few seconds. مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِلُهُ حَرَامٌ, hadith in Sahih Muslim. Whatever intoxicates you inside large amounts, it is haram even in small amount, even a small drop. It is a small element. Haram in the Sharia. Sharia prevents it, totally uproots it. Then the hadith continues that we want to ascertain here, mentioned there will be merriment, feasting of people that you find through the playing of musical instruments and the singing of female singers. This is all expressing what? Az-zina. Musical instruments, singing or dancing of female singers that we find. And that's what we find if we look at the music industry today. What is music coupled with today? Nudity, promiscuity, evil, wicked behavior, temptations, desires, vulgar speech, immoral conduct. What does this lead to amongst the youth? What does it lead to inside their mind and their thought? To how they treat women, how they live with women. And the other opposite side, if you study most of the dialogue and the lyrics inside all of this, what they sing about, what they fantasize about, it leads to what? It leads to a fact. The gang violence, the culture that you find inside our society of killing and slaying people all goes back to the listening of these songs, to the watching of these videos, to listening to nothing but filth. That's what it is, nothing but filth. Any decent individual doesn't entertain that inside their mind. A person who places filth inside their mind eventually becomes a filthy individual. Filth overcomes them. Life becomes filth, becomes tainted. Can't make a distinction between al-khubuth wa tayyib. Cannot make a distinction between that which is pure and that which is good. And that's what, unfortunately, many of these youth, that's what their life becomes. Impure things become a normality for them. Becomes a normal way of life for them. Lewdness, promiscuity becomes a normal way of life. And Nabi alayhi salam is making ishara that this is what leads to zina that we find. Even before this Quran mentioned, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Quran doesn't say وَلَا تَفْعَلُوا الزِّنَا. Quran doesn't say don't commit zina. Doesn't use that language inside the Quran. The Quran says وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Never ever go close to zina. صَدُّ الْأَبْوَابِ. Close every single door and avenue inside your life that could lead to zina. Close every single door, any door of temptation, seal it inside your life to never go towards that. That'll be fine. The Prophet ﷺ, he went even a further stage. Sinfani min ahli nar lam arahuma. Two types of individuals. I saw them inside the fire, I've never seen them before. Never seen such type of individuals. Many individuals describe such and such person will be inside paradise, inside the hellfire, sorry, a person who drinks, a person does this, steals, lies, does this, all been described. But these two types, I haven't seen them yet on this dunya. Who are these two types of individuals? First type of individuals, people have whips inside their hands, and they're punishing and they're whipping and torturing other people. Al-Jabbarun, Al-Zalimun, tyrannical leaders, tyrannical individuals, oppressing the people around them, whipping people, torturing people, controlling people, making people their abid, making people their slaves. Al-Basharu, Al-Hur, man is free. Man is no one's slave except for the slave of Allah. That's what a man is. Man doesn't bow down to any individual. No individual man ever bowed down to inside the life. That's what Ulama mentioned. Even combat sports, for a person to bow down in front of their opponent, to bow in front of the judge, for what? Kufr billah. It's kufr. Your back doesn't bend for no human being except for you've been forced to do that. The human being's back only bends, prostrates lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Or in the moat, the person being forced, nothing but death awaits them, they have no choice. In the hand, a person may be weak inside the iman or make that choice, their own judgment, and do that. But in general, a person never doesn't even lower their head. For a person to govern the rules over it to show that this is some form of reverence. Because this leads to arrogance, leads to pride. We can read through our whole history, read through the Muslim history, our people, individuals, become enraged. That this person never bowed in front of me, never prostrated in front of me, never showed, delivered himself appropriately in front of me. Send them to the gallows, punish them and torture them. Kulluna bashar, we're all human beings. There's no virtue for any human being except for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find a second type of individuals that the Prophet ﷺ described. Wa nisa'u kasiyat, ariyat, mumilat, ma'ilat. He mentioned women, kasiyat, ariyat, dressed but yet naked. He prophesied this. There will be women who will be dressed but yet they will be naked. They will be swaying in the way that they walk, in a walk of temptation. And likewise they will be dragging, enticing other people, derailing other people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise find on their heads will be a fashion of like a hump of a camel will be on the head, swaying or going towards a side. And these women that we find, they will not enter paradise, and they will not smell the fragrance of paradise. وَإِنَّ رِيْحَا لَيُوجِدْ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And the smell of paradise can be smelled from such and such a long distance. You find that in discussing this hadith that we find, some of the ulama begin to discuss centuries ago, about women. An-nisa kasiyat. One description has been mentioned is that these women are dressed wearing the right attire, but they tighten their dress to reveal their body ornaments. This was written centuries ago. And look what exists inside our society today. Centuries ago, the expression had even mentioned, they wear the dress, but yet they tighten it so their body can be exposed to society around them. Another meaning is clear. Al-kasiyat, al-ariyat. Dressed but yet naked. The way that the type of material and the way that they're dressed. You may as well not wear the hijab, as they say. You may as well not wear the outer garment. Because the hijab and the outer garment is a dress of chastity, is a dress of modesty, is a dress of taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a dress of beauty. It's not a dress of deliverance to society and acceptance to society. And likewise, we find that a person should be vigilant inside their life, that we find that all these interpretations, these modernistic interpretations, the challenges that we find of modernism around us, that this is a preaching of the 6th century, a medieval barbaric practice, Arab Bedouin practice, that we find a preaching that you want to take us back to that time and environment. It's not taking you back in any time. It's taking you back to the fear of Allah. It's taking you back to modesty. It's taking you back to chastity. The Prophet ﷺ was the most chaste individual that we find. He encouraged his companions, encouraged people around him. When he said to them, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, woe upon you to ever enter to a gathering of women, surrounded by women. He said, never let a man sit with a strange woman. فَإِنَّ ثَالِثُهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Never place your situation sitting all alone with a strange woman. Because the third is a shaytan that we find. Simple teachings that we find inside our life. Don't shake the hand of a strange woman. There's no need for a modernistic approach that we find. وَهَلْ عِنْدَ الشَّهْوَةِ أَوْ مَا عِنْدَ الشَّهْوَةِ. If you have a desire, don't have a desire. Is it for work? Is it for this? Is it for that? Is it for that? The Prophet ﷺ was a simple individual. His hand never touched any strange woman in his life. قَطْعًا. Is there a better leader than him who has a political role? Surrounded by so many individuals, when he took bay'ah from the women, he never shook their hands. Never shook their hands, just took the pledge from them. No strange woman's hand, he never touched their hand in his life. The only hands that he touched were his ummahat al-mu'mineen, azwaju, his wives, his daughters, those who were mahram, that he touched them. He showed love and affection to them. After that, he never shook hands. He said, you'd rather have a metal rod, a bar going through your hand, than to touch a strange woman's hand. Simple teachings, simple life. People may take offense to that, but actually it's a point of da'wah. That this is the way we Muslims conduct ourselves. This is what we believe in life of modesty and chastity in our belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find the fair share of zina and forgery has been prophesied. Inside the hadith in Bukhari that we find, the two eyes will commit zina. What is the zina of the eyes? The glance. The tongue will commit zina. The hands will commit zina by touching. And then the hadith concludes it in the private parts. We either accept that or deny that. And even inside the hadith actually mentions that the mind commits zina in a thought of lust and desires. If a person follows all of this up, will eventually fall into a zina. So they need to preserve and protect themselves. And thus it becomes a difficult practice. Thus preservation becomes jihad. To preserve your chastity, your honor, and your dignity living in this modern world becomes a form of jihad. The one extreme that we find in the Western world in this concept understanding of chastity and living a world of temptations and desires. Actually for them isn't temptations and desires, but actually the concept of normality for them. That to have children out of wedlock, to get married at a later stage inside your life, to have mistresses, to have numerous partners and numerous relationships, all a common practice for them. We find, unfortunately, the opposite extreme for some of us Muslims as well that we find in the Islamic world that we find. That making marriage should become something very, very difficult. Excessive dowry that we find, and prerequisites that we find inside our society that we find, making it difficult for an average person to get married. And sometimes we don't find thousands, we find tens of thousands have been placed down, stipulated as the dowry, the mahar that needs to be given, that needs to be exchanged. Or we find that, unfortunately, we find that family members of the women will seek excessive amounts, and even beyond that, we find that the man will seek excessive amounts from the woman and her family When the Sharia speaks about the opposite, the man delivers the dowry to the woman and that's it. There's nothing to be given to the family out of goodwill. Person is wealthy, person has the wealth, has the means, wants to give presents, gift, whatever wants to give out of their own goodness. But to stipulate that the marriage is based upon this, for £50,000, and for this to be given, a car to be given, a house to be given, and this gold to be given, this to be given, this all to be called the dowry. This becomes what? This becomes difficult for the average individual to reach that benchmark. And it shouldn't be hidden. May Allah forbid that you even find concepts of homosexuality spreading inside the Muslim Ummah, because why? People can get married. It's a fact that exists. A minor fact, unfortunately, exists. But the reason being behind what? Making the task difficult for a person to get married inside their life. And likewise we find, it's not a taboo that if a woman wants to get married, or a woman seeks to get married, or asks her parents to get married, because sometimes that society, we feel that as offensive. That why should a woman express that I want to get married? Read Kitabun Nikah of Imam Bukhari. Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. A woman came to the Prophet ﷺ. And she proposed herself to get married to the Prophet ﷺ. فَنَظْرَ إِلَيْهَا. He looked at her. He glanced at her. He had no inclination. I didn't want to get married to her. If one of the companions walked over and said, if you don't want to marry her, let me get married to her. He said, what do you have to give in mahar to this woman? He said, I don't have much. He said, don't you even have an iron ring or something to give? He said, no, I don't have that. Don't you even have an izar, a lower garment? I have the only one garment that I'm wearing at the moment. Obviously, can't give that as mahar. So the man just remained there. Then the Prophet ﷺ called him back and asked him, ماذا حفظت من القرآن? What have you memorized from the Quran? He said, Surah kada wa kada. He said, okay, I'll marry you to this woman and you teach her the surah of the Quran that you know. That's your mahar. He got them married. Ulama hadith, they stipulate regarding this hadith. What is the inner dimension mean this hadith? This woman wanted to get married. If you can use the word, she had a desire to get married. The man had a desire to get married. The Prophet ﷺ fulfilled that desire, lest they go and fulfill that desire in the haram mean. That's the inner meaning of this hadith. So the woman can have a desire as well, that we feel is some great big taboo. And a person should be understanding inside society, a woman reaches a certain age, a man reaches a certain age, then a person needs to carry that out. That's why a person who comes, who seeks the hand of marriage, and you reject it for no shar'an reason, for no appropriate reason, then know there will be fasadun fiddatun or fasadun areem. There will be immense fitan and corruption on the face of the land. Whoever comes to you and you're happy with their deen, happy with their khuluq, you're happy with that, then you should get them married. Because there is no perfection for any human being. There's no perfect woman. There's no perfect man. There's no perfect identity, no perfect individual. First, you should look at the greater good. The greater good of society. The greater good of preservation. And carry this out. And thus we find that seek the means and the ways to guard one's chastity. Awwalan. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wal afafa wal ghina. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Excessive supplication of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wal afafa wal ghina. I ask you for guidance. I ask you for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask you to give me the ability to guard my chastity, to preserve myself. And I ask you for richness. So a person should begin asking in this environment around us, give me the ability to be a chaste individual, to preserve and to protect myself. Likewise, you find other prophetic traditions. Ya ma'ashar shabab. Oh, young men amongst you, whoever amongst you can afford it. Afford it goes back to Ruf. Some ulama they mentioned, a person has a room to live in. That's what some ulama go to the view, a room to live in. And that will suffice, and the person should get married. Others may go to another extreme view that some of us have fallen into. That a person needs to have a career, needs to have a degree, needs to have wealth, needs to have this, needs to have this. But a sad fact is that many of the youth may never achieve that, may never reach that. That is a true fact that we need to live in a realistic world. That we make all these achievements, that many people not get married inside their lives. But whoever has the basic means, then get these people married. If they're not able to, but that'll be effective in lowering the gaze and guarding one's chastity. And whoever is not able to do so should fast, as fast it will be a shield for that individual. And likewise, you find other elements that ulama have discussed based on prophetic tradition. To place yourself in a good environment. to surround yourself in a good environment, to engage in some physical activities, in some laborious work, hard work, busying yourself. So a person doesn't have time. Their mind isn't free to just wander away. Life isn't just free. That's why every young individual is engaged in some form of laborious work that we find will keep them engaged. When young youth are busy walking around the streets, fantasizing in the streets, wasting their time, results have just been given. And you can see, Allah forbid, many of the youth, and you hear their words and they look at their grades, look at their results. Many of them, unfortunately, just can't be bothered in their life. These are talking about the Muslim, you can't be bothered. They're just a bare minimum, just straight through and just interested in doing what with their life. And just becoming a generation of wasting their life, wasting their dignity, wasting their honor. Asasul Muslim, essence of a Muslim, is preservation, is chastity, is goodness. That is the essence of a male man. A male man isn't one that a person engages all his haram and says this is a symbol of a good individual. Symbol of a good individual is a person who's lived a moral life, an upright life. That's how a Muslim should be. We've been exposed to so many things. So many things we've been exposed to. It's become noble min al-jihad. A person in this fitan can preserve themselves, has a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've got those who have fallen short shouldn't fret. We should encourage them. That many of these people are still young to guard and preserve themselves, to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live a good, a pure, wholesome life. They can see the fruits of this inside this dunya and inside the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to live a chaste and a good life, even whilst in a state of marriage, we preserve, we guard our honesty and our dignity, our wives guard and their honesty and their dignity. That we find in prophetic tradition, speaking about a woman who guards her honor and her chastity, preserves herself and symbolizes her only for her husband. For what a great reward will be given to that woman that we find of entering to general whichever door that she wishes. These are symbols of our society, of goodness and chastity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our youth, the youth that are living at the moment, youth that will come inside the future. Give this youth the ability to guard themselves, to preserve themselves. Make them become the youth of the people of Jannah, to follow the path of Al-Hassan Al-Hussein, Sayyidani, Sayyida Ahl al-Jannah, the two masters or the two young individuals entering to Jannah from amongst the young individuals.